Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to start in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to a couple of the letters that Paul wrote today on the same topic, different churches he wrote that topic to. So as you're turning there, I do want to highlight a couple things. First off, yes, we do have Sunday school on the 31st. So we'll have church at 9 and Sunday school at 10:30 following that service, or not 10 o'clock following, not 10:30. I don't want to wait 30 minutes before Sunday school. So 9 and 10 on that. Me and Chris will be gone, so have fun. Joey Savelle will be preaching that service, if I'm saying his name correct. I never remember how to say his name. But he's coming. He's looking forward to it. I think he's looking more forward to it just being one service. And so he's really happy with that. Other thing, if I start coughing or if I put a piece of candy in my mouth, just understand that I know that's not polite, but if y'all would rather see me chew on candy versus coughing, I think y'all pick the candy. And then the last thing, as y'all are turning there, if you did not receive your Christmas cards this morning, you can come over here. Me and Chris will try to stay around front over here. We can go through the cards, try to get them to you. Or we expected you at the second service, and so we'll go upstairs and get them for you on those. We tried to guess who would be here. I almost could go around the church and just put them where y'all supposed to sit and then let y'all figure out from there. If y'all don't find them, then you're not sitting in the right seat. But thank y'all for being patient with us as we handle those. And then I think that's all I have for this morning. So we are continuing our series out of Isaiah 9:6. It's really just looking at the names that were described in Isaiah 9:6, and it gets a little confusing as you study this, because in the scripture he was a child, he's a son, and today he's a father, and we start asking the questions generally, like, okay, what's trying to say here? Because it says that he is, well, let me turn to Isaiah. I didn't mark it in my Bible today. Oh, there you go. Look at there. For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, which we talked about the first week. Mighty God, we talked about last week. Eternal Father, which we're talking about today. And Prince of Peace, which we'll talk about tomorrow. When we're looking at Jesus as being the Prince of, the Everlasting Father, we need to understand that Jesus is not attacking God in the Trinity. We're not talking about God the Father versus God the Son. When it talks about Eternal Father, he starts talking about characteristics that we see from fathers, characteristics that we see from our parents. We see this battle between our earthly father, not the fathers that God gave us on this earth, but Adam, the first father. And you start seeing parallels drawn between Jesus and Adam. And you see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 21 and 22, it says this: "For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." And we start seeing the fullness of who Christ is as our Heavenly Father. Now, I know a lot of y'all in this room today, and I understand that a lot of people in this room today grew up with great fathers on this earth. All right? Me and my father had a tumultuous time as in my teenage years, but I love my father, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for my father. And now as an adult, I can look back and see the sacrifices that my father made for me and my family, and those sacrifices, now that I know them, magnify who he is in my life even more. Now, I can bring up past pains and I can bring up all these things, but I can tell you this right now: the life that I lived on this earth has been a blessed life, even before I knew Christ. Even before I knew what was going on, even before all that, God blessed me tremendously with the father, the mother that I have. Because inside of those two people that God placed me in their lives, I see the three things that we see from our Heavenly Father. There's three things we're going to talk about today. Number one, he has given us life. In the same sense that Christ has given me life, my parents on this earth, through God and through his plan, has given me life. Second thing, my parents provided for me. They did everything that I needed. I got everything that I wanted, usually at the expense of my parents. My father has very little, what is going on behind me? It sounds like a hurricane's behind me. I got the air on. That's my fault. And the choir's closed every vent back there. And so it's just steaming because I am burning up in here. I don't know about y'all. But the vest seemed like a great idea this morning. Right now, not so much. All right. They provided for me, usually at their expense. My dad, every time we needed something, he found a way. I wanted a class ring. Dad gets a second job, buys me a class ring. He did what he had to do. Why? Because parents provide for us, right? And the third thing that we see that we're going to talk about today is that they care for us. My parents always cared for me, even when I was unworthy of their care. Guys, I can't even express to you how bad of a kid that I was. Now, my mom would come and argue and tell you that I wasn't as bad as I make it out to be. Yes, I was. I fought over, one time my grandmother made chicken and dumplings, and I got mad because chicken and dumplings was a side, it wasn't a main course, and we're eating it as a main course. I got an argument over that, guys. I was a turd. I was a bad kid. And it's embarrassing to look back and to think about the way that I used to act, but my parents always cared for us. Now, I want us to take those three topics, and I want us to understand to the full extent what that means when we're talking about our eternal Father, not our worldly fathers, not our earthly Father, okay? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, through Adam, we all experienced life, but we all experienced sin, and because of Adam, we will all experience death. Because it says in there, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Therefore, if you have sin in your life, you will die at some point. Correct? Y'all agree with me? I don't think that's a lot of theology thrown at you at one time. That's the fact. Be through Adam, through his disobedience in Genesis, led to the disobedience of mankind all behind him that led to sin in our lives and led to death coming into our lives. Now, it says that in there, death enters into the world through one man, he said, but also through one man came redemption. It said, through Jesus, we all experience the fullness of life. Now, I thought I had a life before Jesus. I thought the life that I had was amazing, and then I met Jesus, and I started realizing there is something far greater in this world to live for than myself, than my pleasures, than what I want. We've got people on this earth that have more money than they can shake a stick at. They're more popular than they can ever imagine. They have all these things, and they're empty inside. You know, one of the biggest celebrity deaths that ever rocked me? Robin Williams. Did not Robin Williams look like he was the happiest person on the face of the earth? Did not look like that he just had joy coming out of his heart and his life in every aspect, and he was so miserable that he took his own life. Because we can have everything this world has to offer and have absolutely nothing at the same time. Because we've got to understand that the fullness of life doesn't rest in the things that this earth offers us. Get you a house, that's fine, and pay for it for 30 years. Get you a nice car and watch the value depreciate. Do all the things that you think makes you better, and I guarantee you they will not bring fullness into your life in the same manner in which Jesus Christ will. Jesus didn't just give us life, he gave us the fullness of life. A life, and as he said it, more abundant. The other thing that he does, he gives us the forgiveness of sin. Through the forgiveness of sin, he gives us life. We cannot live outside of the forgiveness of sin. I cannot enter into the glories of heaven without forgiveness. I don't know about y'all. If the cost to get into heaven is perfection, I've messed up and I'm not getting there. And as I look across this room, I think we all have one thing in common. If the cost of perfection, or cost of heaven is perfection, ain't none of us getting in there. And that's proper English, ain't none of. All right? Because when we get the glories of heaven, that's what we're going to say. Ain't none of us worth it. It don't matter what the grammatical sentence is in that. It's not happening. But because of the life in which Jesus lived, because of the life in which he gave up, he poured into us this thing that we call forgiveness. And that forgiveness leads us to the life that he's called us to. And the last thing he's going to give us, not death, but the resurrection from the dead. You see, because of my sin nature, because of my human father, if you want to call Adam the father of humanity, because of him, I inherited death. And I'm way more keen now of how quickly death sneaks up on you than I was when I was in my 20s. And I know some of y'all are in here looking at me today like you're just a baby, Adam. You don't even know. But I've hit that stage in life in which you don't have to do anything to be sore. Just sleep wrong. Or sneeze. You know, just sneeze to your head to the left, and then you can't move your neck for the rest of the week. All right? You hit that moment when you understand that for some reason the human body stops replenishing itself and gets weaker and weaker, and you get older and older and older. Came to a realization several years ago that my grandparents, who I thought were ancient when I was a child, were in their late 40s. That hurt. That hurt really bad. That my granddad, who is now old, was not old when I was a kid. He was still working. And he could have been 100 years old in my eyes then. But the human body starts to break down. When the human body breaks down, that means death is right around the corner. And the only way that I will achieve life after death is through my Heavenly Father, through my everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ, who offers us life. If you will, turn with me over to Romans, just one book over. It's going to be in Romans chapter 5. Similar topic to what you see in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read verses 12 through, I believe it's 21, and then we're going to go back and kind of look at the next couple topics. It says there, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, "Therefore, just as though one man's sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned, in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the gift is not like the transgressions, for by the transgressions of one many died. But much more did the grace of God and the gift of grace by one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For by the transgressions of one, death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So then, as though one transgressor there was resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as though one man's obedience and many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one of the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgressions would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that the sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There in chapter 15 it says this, "But the free gift is not like the transgressions, for by the transgressions the one of the many died. Much more did the grace of God and the gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many." What you see in Romans chapter 5, verse 15, not only has he given his life for us, or given us life, he provides for us. It says in there, "But the gift is not like the transgressions, for by the transgressions of one, many died." Because of Adam, all behind him died. He said, not so. Like grace, much more did the grace of God and the gift of grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound with many. He's saying with Adam, one caused many, and that's pain and hurt. With Jesus, one act of righteousness caused grace for all. It's complete opposite of what Adam did is what Jesus did. He provides for us. What does Jesus provide for us? Grace. There is not a greater gift in this world that we can be provided for than grace. Grace is not getting what we deserve. All right? If your kids act up and they deserve a whooping and you don't give them a whooping, you're showing grace unto them. All right? And so therefore, if we sin against God and we don't get the punishment of that sin, we are resting in grace. We're resting in that in which we don't deserve. As I look back on my childhood and I see how much my parents provided for me, the more and more I realize that I did not deserve it. I don't, parents, I'll relieve you of some of the struggles of this world. There's nowhere in Scripture does God it say that parents are required to buy their children a car. There's nowhere in Scripture that it tells us as parents that we are required to buy our children name brand clothing, or TVs for their rooms, or video game systems. None of that stuff is a requirement as you as a parent. That's a choice in which you make. And I choose to buy my children the things that I buy them. I don't make my children go buy stuff. I don't give my children an allowance. I'm just not going to pay them money for them to buy something and make it seem like it's theirs. I'll just buy it for them, and when I want to take it away from them, I'll take it away from them because I bought it for them, okay? That's the way I operate. You don't have to operate like that. You can raise your kids however you want to raise your kids. But I'm not going to give my kids a false sense of accomplishment by giving them money for nothing that they turn around and buy something that they can, and again, well, that's mine. I bought it with my own money. No, you didn't. You bought it with the money that I bought you. The other day, I just came home bragging. I bought my gas. I said, no, you paid for your gas. I bought it. You just swiped the card that I put money in. All right, so that's fine, and I appreciate you putting gas in your car. I'm not arguing that fact, but let's be honest. You did not buy that. I bought it. All right, and that's what a job as a parent is. Is it not? Is that not the trap that we fall into this world? Is sometimes, let's be honest, for just a moment, we want to out-parent people. Y'all can call me a liar you want to, but I'm telling y'all this right now, and I know I'm probably going a little too far. Ain't no sense in this world buying a 16-year-old a luxury car except for the fact that you want to be better than other parents. A brand new luxury car for a 16-year-old? There's no reason for that to happen except for the fact they're trying to outdo somebody. And we as parents, we get caught up in this challenge to be better or to do better or to give more at the expense of our children. You see, we have a calling to provide. We don't have a calling to spoil. We don't have a calling to use them as leverage in this game for us to feel better about who we are. We have this calling to provide for them in so much more than the stuff that they wear or the things that they drive or the houses that they live in. We have this calling to provide for them in the same way that God provided for us. How did God provide for us? He provides what we don't need. I mean, what we do need, but we don't deserve. As a parent, what do I provide for my children? Things that they need that they don't deserve. There's nothing wrong with that. My kids have worn more name brand clothing than I ever wore as a child. I was a Payless kid shoe. I hated it. Payless is not a thing anymore, by the way. Thank you. You're welcome, kids. We eradicated that atrocity from the face of the earth. I had to go to school. I didn't have three stripes like Adidas. I had four, okay? You go around, you get made fun of because you got four stripes or you got a backwards check mark on your shoe or something like that, all right? I was a Payless. My parents did the best they could. They didn't understand it. They didn't get it. I remember the first time I got a pair of Nikes that I really, really wanted. You know what? I hated them. Most uncomfortable pair of shoes that I've ever bought in my life. And I had to plop around in them high top atrocities the whole time. Never told my parents that. Sorry, Mom and Daddy. But they provided for me the best we could. But there are times in which my parents were struggling. There are times in which they couldn't do what they could do. And as I got older and it became a bigger deal, my parents did more and more and more for me out of an obligation for me to fit in. And it's not an obligation that I really want my children to fight in. There was a time, and I've told this story before, that somebody in Addison's grade was being made fun of for not wearing name brand clothing. And I pulled her aside and asked her if she was making fun of her. And she promised that she wasn't. Nobody's told me any different. So I'm assuming that she was telling the truth. And I told her, and I was probably a little meaner than I need to be. And I said, if I ever, and I mean ever, hear you making fun of somebody because the clothes they're wearing, you will never wear a name brand clothing again as long as I'm your father. I said, because you don't get to brag about what me and your mama do. Only we can brag about what God's done in our life. Because me and Heather were lower middle class families. And we didn't have a lot of the stuff that our kids had. And I'm grateful for the things that we did. It says here that sin multiplies. It goes from many transgressions and turns into condemnation. Anybody in this room lived in condemnation? I remember what it was like before you found Jesus. I do. The dread of that condemnation. It says, but through the free gift of grace, many transgressions results in justification. How? Because Jesus provided us with grace. You see, through Adam's death and through Jesus' grace. And so what we see here is not only has Jesus not only does he give us life, but he also provides for us. And lastly, in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, it says this, the law came in so that transgressions would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Romans 5:20 tells us this, that God cares for us. Think about that. Now, parents, it's hard to explain to a child what parenting feels like. Am I right? It's hard to explain to them the joy that you get from being a parent. I never understood how much joy I get from watching my kids play sports. Okay. I enjoy, Evan had a ball game this weekend. I was sick for the last one, so I couldn't go see him. But for this one, I got to watch him, and just the joy of it. Guys, I'm going to fill y'all in on something that y'all need to know. Evan's too much like his daddy. Evan's got a whole lot of attitude on that basketball court. Tony, when he was dribbling, when the kid dribbled past him and Evan just shoved him out of bounds, I'm like, oh, yep, that's my kid. Sorry, guys. He didn't get called for a foul. They called traveling on the kid, and I'm like, all right, we'll go with that. I've told Addison on numerous occasions that I love watching her play ball. I love watching her play volleyball. I love watching her play softball. It's a joy to me, and it's been like that since she started. And the reason we enjoy watching our kids do things, and the reason why we enjoy watching our kids succeed, is because we care about them and every aspect of them. Now, I've often made it clear, and I've tried to make it clear to Addison, that Addison is not, I don't like calling her, she's not a softball player. That's just something she does. She's not a volleyball player, because that's just something she does. And very shortly, that will end. And she won't do it for a long time. Sorry to say, baby. And so if you are a softball player and you graduate from college, then guess what? Your life has come to an end. So she's not a softball player. She's a child of God, in which God can use many different avenues in her life to do those things. And that's the things that I care about. Now, is God using softball right now? Absolutely. Is God using volleyball right now? Absolutely. Is God using basketball with Evan? Absolutely. And I care about those things because God cares about those things. But they don't make them up who they are. That is just something in a part of their life in which they do. And because of that, I care for them in those areas. What does that say to us? Look at how, if I care for my children in that way, how much more is God going to care about us? Romans 5:20, it says, where sin increases, God's grace increases even more. He says, so the farther you go away from God, the bigger his love is for you. That's crazy, right? Parents, y'all understand it. Is there something that your children could do to cause you to stop loving them? Your love for your children is not based off of what they do for you. Am I right? Your love for your children are not based off of what you can get from them or how they magnify your life or how much they make you feel better. No, your love for them is unconditional. And if we as fallen, sinful human beings can have unconditional love for those placed in front of us, how much more can our everlasting Father have that unconditional love towards us? Why? Because he cares for us. There's a great saying in that that oftentimes we don't say, that God cares for us. God's care and concern for us is not based on us. Imagine that. God is not happier with Austin because he leads worship. It doesn't happen. It can't happen. Because if God's love for us is based off of what we do, that means his love will shrink and inflate based off of what we do. And that's not the love of God that I find. God loves Austin in spite of who he is, in spite of what he does. God's love is the same. God's care comes from him and rests upon us. Because if it came from us, I'd have ruined it a long, long time ago. So the three things that we see from our earth, our everlasting Father: he has given us life, he provides for us, and he cares about us. And there's one more important part that we got to remind ourselves. Verse 21 says this: so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The best part of our everlasting Father is, it's everlasting. It will reign through eternity. Eternity is not something the human brain can comprehend. Imagine that. When we live with God in heaven, and we're there for a million years, we're no closer to the end than when we started. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It keeps on going. So what does that say? He has given us life and he will continue to give us life. He gave us life on the cross. He gives us life through our salvation experience and every morning in which we fall on our knees before him and we ask for forgiveness and we ask him to lead us and guide us. He gives us life everlasting from this day forward. Secondly, we see in there that he has provided for us. He provided for us on the cross. He provided for us out of our salvation experience. And every time we fall on our knees before him and we beg for forgiveness and we ask him to lead us and guide us, guess what? He provides for us then on. And he will continue to provide for us until we step into the glories of heaven. And when we get into heaven, guess what? He will continue to provide for us everlasting. Why? Because he's our everlasting Father. And the last thing is this: he cares about us. He cares about us here, cares about us now, cares about us in the future. He'll care about us for eternity. He cares about us not because of who we are, not because of what we do, but because he has this love for us. That's why in Scripture God's constantly saying things like, "For all I've sinned and fallen short of the God, for all I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All right, and the wages of sin is death. Right, but the free gift of God is eternal life. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life." Why does he say things like that? Does he say things like that because he wants us to die and be separated from him? Or does he say things like that because he cares for us and he wishes that all men come into a relationship with him and spend eternity with him? You see, look throughout the Scripture, cast off your blinders, remove the things that make us not see the truth and the reality. And the truth and reality is this right here: that God cares so much for us that he's gone to the extreme ends of the earth to bring salvation upon every person that would have him. And he continues. I don't know about y'all, that our earth and our world is getting to a point in which we need to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that is not a shot at God. That is magnifying the grace and the love and the mercy that God has for our planet, that he would be this long-suffering that just a few more might come to know him, because God cares for us that much. As we are rounding the corner into this holiday season and we're looking at these names of God, I hope that as we celebrate Christmas, you see him as your everlasting Father, because he has given us life, he has provided for us, and he cares about us. And all these things are true forever. As we go into this time of invitation, I got a question for you. Are you resting in Christ as your everlasting Father? If you died tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity? In just a moment, Austin's going to come up and he's going to play one more song for us. He's going to give you an opportunity. You can come up and talk with me and Chris. You can share with us. We can share with you what it is that Christ did for us and how he moved in our life. If there's anybody in here that's just struggling in life, I hope that you find the altar is open. There's some people in here that just want to take a moment, opportunity, and thank God for being who he is in their life. That's what this invitation is about. It's about us responding to God and what he's doing in our hearts and our life. Y'all stand with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.